Okay, guys, before I start, I just want to welcome some guests. First of all, we have a lot of illustrious alumni here. We're excited to have Jake Rimberg, Adam Levee, Elon Ramirez, and Sandy Gross. I think that's how we're doing. And we're also excited that Moses Beebe's dad is joining us for sure, Coley. Very excited. Okay, so we're going to discuss the status of a blind person's obligation in the halachic system. I think it's a very interesting question. Like, on the one hand, obviously, being blind is a tremendous hardship in life, and maybe halacha want to go easy on a blind individual. So let's see how that plays out. Okay, so we're going to start with the Gemara in Baba Kama. Now, the original source here is not about mitzvot. We'll just talk about it for 1 second, even though it's really not the topic today. There's a difference in halacha between damaging somebody's property and assault. Okay, usually when you damage someone's properties, you pay the compensation. When you do what's called chovel b'chavero, when you assault someone, halacha takes assault very seriously. Maybe some of you were forced to memorize this in elementary school. What payments do you do in the case of assault? Who knows, how many payments are there?
Five.
Jordan Cole, very good. What are the five?
I know them all. There's one that, it's like, one to people like the hospital bills or whatever, there's one that's like, he's missing a word. There's one about embarrassment.
Okay, not bad. That's how you memorize it? Even like, it's easier just to know the Hebrew terms. Okay. Any other five Hebrew terms? That's it? You got just do English? Sure. Jake Rimberg, let's go. No, there's no right order. Okay. Just do the Jake. Ezek. Okay, damages. Sar for the pain. Embarrassment. What? Shevet. What is Shevet? Why is Shevet missing work? What? Yeah, you're like Shabbat, Ma'an Ibu Shvitah is to be on strike, you're not working. Okay, so Nezek, Tsar, Boshet, Shevet, and Repoint. Okay, very good. Jake Manis, that was you? Adam will be very good. Okay, so see, we brought in some ringers. Okay, so those are the five things. So first it describes the sum in the case of assault, which is an interesting issue, but it's not our issue. So I just want people to realize what the original context was. Rabbi Yudomer Suma ain lo boshet. He thinks the boshet does not apply to a suma. Let's leave that aside. V'cheina Rabbi Yehuda potro mikol mitzvot amor b'tor. Now it's our topic. So Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's very hard to be blind. Halacha is going to go easy on a blind person. So blind people are exempt from mitzvot. That is shita Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now some of you got a little confused. Rabbi Yehuda was not blind. He's just taking a position about blind people. There are two amorim who are blind, though. Okay, the two amorim who are blind are Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Sheshet. So it's also kind of interesting. Apparently, you could be a blind person and be quite accomplished. Two famous sages were blind, Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshet. Now, Rav Yosef is going to hear about this Rav Yehuda position. So imagine if you're Rav Yosef, you're really quite interested. What position are Chazal going to take? Right? Is a suma me? Am I chayv in mitzvot? Or patur from mitzvot? So here we go. I'm Rav Yosef. Guys, this is a famous Gemara. You got to know this Gemara. May reish have amina. What was my original reaction? Man da amar halacha k'Rav Yehuda. If you tell me halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, great phrase coming up. Kavidna yoma tavel rabbanon. What's avidna yoma tavel rabbanon? Very good. I'll make a party for the rabbis. It can't be that, right? The kiddush is on me. I want people to passing like Rabbi Yehuda. Why do I want people passing like Rabbi Yehuda? My tama lo mafkadina. I hear Jake Rimberg do this. Jake Rimberg has come a long way from his days of Sal Shabbati and Ramaz. Okay, what's mafkidna? Matzmafkadina. Yeah, to be commanded. Because I'm not commanded. When he didn't know Hebrew, when he came to my shir, I said, Jake, how come you know Hebrew? He said, in Ramaz, we just watched Salk Shabbat. Okay? So, because I'm commanded and I do mitzvot. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda was going to do mitzvot anyway. He's a serious person. But what did he think? What was his original thought? What is the best way to do mitzvot? Out of a volunteering spirit. I'm not even commanded when I do them, right? That's a certainly a reasonable habamina. And therefore, I want the halacha to be like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. V'hashta d'shmila had rachina. Now I hear rachina's famous statement. Damar rachina, gadol hametzuve v'oseh mish enam tzuvoseh, which is really worthy of its own shir klali. Very interesting topic. Why is that true? Is it always true? But not for us right now. But what does rachina say? No, your initial thought is not true. You could value the volunteering spirit. Conversely, you could say the greatest thing is to be commanded into it. Maybe that's the highest level. And that's what rachina says. Why that is really a topic for another time. So I've shifted loyalty. What does Rav Yosef say now? What do I want Chazal to tell me? We don't follow Rav Yehuda. Because then I'm chayv in mitzvot, and then I'm the highest level. Okay, got it? So again, stage one, Rav Yosef wanted people to tell him, The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Assume as exempt that I'm doing it out of volunteering spirit. Then he says, once I know the principle of Gagal HaMetzua V'Osa, I want people to tell me the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, what do we seem to learn from this, by the way? Rabbi Yehuda is not the only shita. It sounds like what's lurking in the background? The possibility that we don't hold. If it was universal, then there's no drama here. Rabbi Yosef doesn't figure out, do we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, do we not? So it sounds like if we just have Baba Kama, what do we have? Some nameless shita that might think that Summa Chayav in Mitzvah. And shita Rabbi Yehuda says Summa Pater for Mitzvah. Okay, any comments or questions on the first source? We're all good? Okay, now, if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, does it sound like I'm the Summa's Pater from certain kinds of Mitzvah? Or it's a blanket exemption? What does it sound like from this? It sounds like a blanket exemption, right? Okay, it's just hard to be a blind person. It's so hard, we make you exempt from halachic obligation. Okay, welcome so far. Okay, let us now go to Megillah. Okay, you know, Jacob Katz, our Megillah expert. Can you remember this one? Okay, great. Okay, now, I gloss something over, which maybe I shouldn't have, I just didn't want to complicate things. There's a little bit of a debate what Purishma is exactly. It's a tricky term. So for our purposes, I'm going to kind of not enter that. Let's just think that Purishma is somehow, someone's getting up to recite the Shema, and in some sense, being motzi to people listening, okay, without getting to the details of how it works. I think that sometimes that's enough for our purposes. So let's see what we have here. So says the Mishnah in Megillah, Summa Paris Shema Umitargem. Great. What does it sound like? Right? It sounds like here we have the other position, the non-immune position, namely, assume he's in the world of obligation. He is so in the world of obligation, he could be reciting the Shema on behalf of the community. You haven't got that? Okay, great. Now we have our friend Rabbi Yehuda. Wait, kol shelo ram ba'orot miyamav. If you never saw light, eino pari sal shema. Now, guys, I'm going to differentiate the Talmudic men from the boys, as it were. Okay, this Rabbi Yehuda, does it fit the other Rabbi Yehuda, or does it conflict with the other Rabbi Yehuda? What would you guys say? Yes. Very good. So as you guys can learn. Because on a surface level, you think it's the same position. What does it sound like? Somebody else thinks the Summa is obligated, and Rabbi Yehuda thinks the Summa is not obligated. That's why you can't do pari sal shema. So why does it conflict? Rabbi Yehuda is consistently exempting the Summa from Mitzvah. What's the conflict? Yeah, Jared. Ah, now we're talking. What does he say here? Why can't the Summa be Pari Sal Shema? Yeah, Jacob? Hey, wait. Let's just move it one step further. Okay, why is seeing light relevant to Shema? Excellent. So we're not just talking about Shema, we're talking about the bracha dependent to Shema. We all know there's a bracha called Yotzer HaMorot. Obviously, Tzemach is very much related to enjoying the light in the world. So what does Yehuda seem to be saying? How could a Summa be up there saying, Yotzer HaMorot, this poor fellow, never enjoyed light? So he can't say Yotzer HaMorot. So Jacob Katz, finish your thought.
So it might be implying that if a blind person had seen light before,
okay, very good. So there's two things to point out here. One is, which blind person's exempt? So if you had Baba Kam, they say, as long as you're blind now, you're exempt. Who cares if you had sight the previous 35 years? Whereas in the Gemara Megillah, it would sound like the exemption's only based on the fact the person's blind from birth. Okay? Very good, Jacob. What's the other conflict besides that? I think it's another way that Megillah and Baba Kama conflict. According to Megillah, why is the Summa exempt? Or what is the Summa exempt from? Specifically, very good, Moses. Pori Sal Shema. If I think a Summa has a blanket exemption, I don't need this reason. Why can't a Summa get up and be the chazan for Shema? Because he's exempt from all mitzvot. Who cares whether he's seen light or not, what the themes of Shema? So everyone see that? So what seemed on a surface level as Rabbi Yehuda being consistent, if you dig a bit deeper, there's a lot of conflict here. So again, just to review the two conflicts, in Baba Kama, it sounds like a blanket exemption for anybody who's currently a Summa. In Megillah, it sounds like we've got a very specific exemption. He's only exempt from Shema / Yotzer HaMorot because he's never seen light and therefore can't really give a bracha about the light in this world. Okay, ever got that down? Got a good conflict? Okay, great. So Tosvos, we know that. Oh, so we're going to get Tosvos, actually. Let's go to the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah spells that a little bit more. Okay. Says the Gemara Megillah. Very, very interesting Gemara. Summa Pari Sal Shema. Tanya. Amru lo le Rabbi Yehuda. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Harbeit Safu Lidrosh Merkava, V'lo Ruotam Yameyam. Okay, such an interesting analogy. I'll just throw you Chagiga guys in the room. All the guys go to Ravadi in the morning. Okay, what do they say? What do the Chacham say to Rabbi Yehuda? Wait, you're assuming I have to personally see something to connect to it. Is that true about all of our lives? We don't personally see something, we can't connect to it? Okay, what is his reference to? Yeah, Greg? Yeah, there is a famous prophecy about Masa Merkava, right? I think it could be one, only Yeshayahu and Yechezkel ever saw such a thing. And yet, other people discuss it. right? So maybe you don't have to see something in life to be involved. Hey, you know, anyone know when we read that after, by the way? Masa Merkava? It's actually perfect timing. Anyone know when we read it? I'll give you a hint. No one's awake for it. When do we read Masa Merkava? Yeah, 00. Yeah, short morning. Okay, it's perfect timing. We read Masa Merkava, everybody sleeps through it. Okay, you don't have to worry the fact you don't understand it. It's really great. Okay, very clever move by Chazal. Okay, so, but what was the Chacham say? You could connect to something without having seen it. Okay, so Rabbi Huda has a comeback. Rabbi Huda, hatam b'avnata deliba talya milta. What's avnata? What's the root there? Anybody? What, I'm sorry? Mevin, very good. Ori, excellent. By the way, guys, I noticed something from Ori before. Okay, Rabbi Binny did something extremely clever. Because now, for the rest of our history, the Rosh Hashiva has to be short. Right, so Rabbi Binny's got it made. Okay, Ori Baruchov is never going to be Rosh Hashiva. Okay. Okay, so b'avnata deliba talya milta. Okay, with the understanding of the heart, it depends. What's the claim? No, it is an interesting point. You know what? You could understand something you've never seen. Human beings are quite capable. We could describe, A could describe something to B could achieve some level of understanding. So even Masa Merkava, you could have some conception of if you haven't seen it. But what's going on over here? It's not about understanding. What's it about? Getting benefit. So the blind, even if I, it's an interesting question whether to what degree you could describe to a blind person the world of sight. But let's say you could, and the blind person could achieve some kind of understanding. But it's not about understanding. It's about actual benefit. Since he does not actually benefit, he can't say Yotzer Merod. Okay, so we've got a very interesting debate here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, next. Rabbanan. So now we're back. Like, we always go back and forth in Talmudic discourse. Idlei Hana. What are the Rabbanan going to respond? He does get benefit. Without doing the rest inside, what's the claim? Why do blind people get benefit? Yeah, Jacob? And blind people often benefit from the fact that other people could see, right? It would be a much more difficult world if it was black, dark for everybody, right? So at that point, whether or not they directly can see, they are benefiting from light. Okay, so what do we have a debate here? We have a debate. Notice it's very localized. The Megillah discussion is not about a Summa in general. It's very specific. Yotzer HaMorot. The Chachamim think blind people get enough benefit to make the bracha, and I guess Rabbi Yehuda would say they need to get direct benefit. If they're getting indirect benefit, then they can't make the bracha. Now, I'm going to move on to Tosfot. I just want to ask a question for 1 second. Since if you like, you think deeply about it here. Are you guys surprised or not surprised that Hana is crucial? What do you guys think? The fact that you... Everyone, what's the backdrop to this whole conversation? Everyone agrees you need to get Hana'a to make the bracha of Yotzer HaMorot. The only question is... Does a Summa get Hana? You guys think that's an obvious assumption or not so obvious at all? Not obvious at all. Yeah, Joe? How do you phrase it?
Why do you mean Hana when you're like achieving?
Okay. Anyone use like halachic terminology from the world of brachot? Jake Rimber, go for it.
Why do you have to necessarily get benefit from something that's bigger than that?
Now we're talking. Right. Famously, there are three kinds of brachot in this world. Okay, what are the three kinds of brachot? Birkat HaMitzvot. Birkat HaNenin and Birkat Shevach. Okay, Birkat HaMitzvah is a bracha I make before performing mitzvah. It tends to go, Asher Kitshanu Mitzvotav Etzivanu. Birkat HaNenin really is only two categories for the most part. But we usually assume it's two categories. Where is there Birkat HaNenin usually? Food and smell. Very good. Food and smell. Okay, not, there are a lot of enjoyable things in life. We don't make a bracha on it. You know, I like listening to Simon and Garfunkel. I don't make a bracha before I listen to the Zohar. Okay? You don't make a bracha before a good Tosos. Right? So, actually, Tosos. That's a bad example. Okay, but in any case, that's Birkat HaNenin. Then there's Birkat Shevach, right? You encounter a rainbow, you see the ocean. Well, now if I had asked all of us before the shiur started, what kind of bracha is Yotzer HaMorot? What do you think? Which of the three categories would most of us have put it in? I think we would put it in Birkat Shevach, right? But if it's Birkat Shevach, arguably, why do you need to personally enjoy it? It's true, you can't make a Birkat Eitz unless you eat the apple. And you can't make a Brayin B'Samim unless you smell the B'Samim. But I would have thought Yotzer HaMorot is just a generic Birkat Shevach. So it is interesting that lurking in the background here is people, the assumption of everybody is you need Hana to make that bracha. Yeah, Jake.
Just like a general question. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't we follow one of the Rabbanim who aren't wise rather than the blind to sort of understand like, what's going on in the head of someone who's blind? Like, why do we pause with someone who isn't?
Well, first of all, Rabbi Yosef didn't take a position about blind people. But Jake, you're making an interesting assumption. It's not crazy, but you could go the other way with your assumption also. You're saying the best person to rule about blind people is someone who's blind. Right?
Yeah.
Couldn't you argue the opposite?
Yeah.
The best person to rule by himself is not blind. You could go both ways with it. I just think it's your assumption is a questionable assumption. Okay? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I shouldn't tell you the story, but I'm going to tell you it anyway. Okay. No, because in my young and obnoxious days, okay, I'll tell you something I once said, but it was the wrong thing to say. Okay, I should shut this so it doesn't go in the way you told her, but okay. I'm going to tell the story anyway. Okay, you know, women often claim, I think correctly so, that men don't appreciate what it's like to be a woman, and I think they're right. So let me say it quick. First, they're right. But when I was 15, I was not so nice. So at our Shabbos table once, someone said to me, it's not fair because it's all male rabbis who paskin on women's issues. Women have to paskin. So I said, I was 15 and brazen. I said, well, do we need non-Jews to paskin on non-Jewish issues? Like, we should get a non-Jew out there to... But it was a silly thing to say. Okay. It was a silly thing to say. Okay. Don't say that, guys. It's just obnoxious. Okay. So let's go to... Okay, so let's go... Yeah. Okay, so you're on the right track. Okay, so Jordan's right. This requires further thought. I kind of am moving directions to Birkat Hanen, and it doesn't fit the normal pattern of Birkat Hanen. Normal Birkat Hanen would be like you hold the apple, you make the bracha, you take a bite out of the apple. So it requires further thought. Are we really saying it's a Birkat Hanen, or do we have to come up with a new model? You're on the right track, Jordan. It doesn't seem to be standard Birkat Hanen, but nonetheless, it is striking that everyone in the sugya is assuming you need Hana. Okay, we're good? Okay, let's move on. Okay, now as we know, Tosfos viewed as their job to reconcile all of Shas. That's the Tosfos maneuver, their main job. So here's a good example. We have Baba Kama talking about a blanket exemption. We have Megillah talking about a very localized exemption. What is the shot in Rabbi Yehuda? So let's go to Tosfos and Baba Kama. V'chein Rabbi Yehuda poch v'kol mitzvah m'rtura. Tema! Hadzan perka akorita Megillah, Rabbi Yehuda omer koshol no yamilor apresol shema. Now here he starts with Jacob Katz's point. Afilu rav nisma nami amarachat depati v'kol mitzvot. Here he focuses on the Jacob Katz conflict. In Baba Kama, anybody who's a Summa now is exempt. In Megillah, what does it sound like? You're only exempt if you were always a Summa. Right? If a person had become a Summa in midlife, they'd be able to say Yotzei Amarot. So it's a conflict. So he says, an amazing Yushalmi. Uvyushalmi demuki shelo ramo miyamav. Now here's an example. It's a very hard case to accept, but it's close reading. What's the language of the Megillah, guys? Does it say a blind man? No, you guys have to read very carefully. It says someone who never saw light. So let's see what it says. B'yoshe b'bayit afel. Okay, where's that word in Masechet Brachot? All Brachot people here. Okay, remember the Mishmarot? One was someone who's in a dark house. Right? Afela is a synonym of Choshech. Okay, someone who grew up in the dark. Okay. Oshinolad bimara, they're born in the caves. The Eno Suma, that is remarkable. Now, it's very hard to accept, but if Yushalmi's right, there's no conflict. According to Yushalmi, what's the discussion in Megillah about? It's not about blind people. Blind people is not the topic at all. Who's the topic? Someone who their whole life grew in a cave. Right, amazing. Someone who lived in the dark their whole life. Oh, Rav Tzadok could get a lot of meaning of that one. Okay, living in the dark for a lifetime. Okay, if that's the case, then there's no conflict. This is not even the same conversation. Okay, Baba Kama is about someone who's actually blind, and Megillah is about somebody who grew up in the dark, and therefore you can't ask a conflict. If we go to Yushalmi, the conflict's already solved. Okay, now, however, would you say to Yushalmi is the simple shot in the Mishnah? Probably not. And we're not going to do it inside, but Tosu when starting, the Bavli does not agree. Okay, so if the Bavli thinks we're actually talking about a blind man, we're back in our conflict. Jordan. Okay. Interesting. That's not a crazy. That's very clever, actually. Let me just think: would it work the right way or the wrong way? Wait, what's Baba? Who's Baba Kama exempting?
Baba Kama is exempting someone who can't make out even shapes. Even if they can see light, or like a little bit clearly, because the reason why they're not.
Okay, not bad. Not bad. It would also work out well that the word Suma never appears in Megillah.
Yeah.
That's not bad, Jordan. Yeah. Okay, so hang in there, guys. Did we say that he shouldn't do it? Okay, don't forget a good rule about life. Most times in halacha, when a Jew is exempt from something, it is not problematic for them to do it. Now, it's not problematic, but it's often a mitzvah, right? Most women's issues are like that. Those few mitzvah that women are exempt from, if women do them, they fulfill a mitzvah and get tzchar. So no one's talking about what you should and you shouldn't do here. We're talking about who's obligated and they can be motzi other people. Okay? We're good? Okay, great. So let's go to Tosu's answer. So skip now down to Venera. Now things get very exciting. Okay, so what's the answer? One again on the board. How can we solve the conflict? If you hold like Yushalmi, one's about a blind man, one's not about a blind man. But let's say we don't hold like Yushalmi. Venera, the avagav, the patri, the sumikom, it's a mikom, the rabbanan chayav. There it is. We have a good solution. What does Baba Kama say? A blind person is biblically exempt, but the rabbis came along and are machayav him. Why does everything make sense now? Why in Gilad do we say there's a specific exemption from Yotzer HaMarod and Shema? On what level does that work? On the rabbinic level. Right? What does Baba Kama say? He's patri midoraita. But implicit is he's chayav in Rabbanan. What does Megillah say? Even the chayav Rabbanan would not apply to mi shelo ramor mi amav in terms of Yotzer HaMarod. You haven't seen that would solve the problem? Yeah? Alex, you good? Boy, you're confused. Okay, let's try that again. Baba Kama says a blind person is exempt. Something exempt from everything. Megillah says he's only exempt from Shema. What's the answer? When Baba Kama said he's exempt from everything, it meant on a Doraita level. But he's rabbinically obligated to mitzvot. And therefore what Megillah is saying is he's rabbinically obligated to all mitzvot, but he wouldn't be able to do Yotzer HaMarod. And then we've solved the conflict. Okay? Andrew, can I make fun of you again? Okay, I realized something very important this morning. If you treat the name Langer like a tongue twister, you say like Langer Fast a couple of times, it sounds like long hair. Okay, it's amazing. Okay. Okay, here we go. Okay. Yeah. Megillah is saying that the rabbinic obligation does not apply to Yotzer HaMarod. Okay? You guys with me? Okay, but now things get very exciting. Wait, let's think for a second. What is the claim here? Assume as a person who's exempt from mitzvot, but the rabbanim came along and created a chiyuv. Now let's think about rabbinic philosophy of life. The rabbis are sitting there. Who should they create a chiyuv for? Who shouldn't they create a chiyuv for? So let's talk about three people. We have ketanim. Okay, let's say 11-year-old boys, or 10-year-old girls. So they are someone in theory who's exempt. Will the rabbis create a chiyuv for them? We've got women who are chayiv in most mitzvot, but the rabbis could be mechayiv them, let's say, in lulav or sukkah. And we've got blind people who have a total exemption. But let's see if it played out the same way in all three cases. So let's do blind versus women and blind versus katana. So if we do blind people versus women, how does it play out differently? Let's say women are exempt from 8 mitzvot. Okay? What did the rabbanan do there? They were not mechayiv women. Again, it is a schar if they do it, but there's no chiyuv rabbanan for a woman to sit in a sukkah. Okay? So that's one contrast. And what about ketanim? So we do seem to have this idea of chinuch, it's called. And what does chinuch say? That a katan should do mitzvah. But let's think, is the chiyuv chinuch similar to the chiyuv d'rabbanan on a suma? Everyone understand what I've just asked? So we've got suma compared to isha, and suma compared to katan. Okay. Let's do suma compared to isha first. So we'll do this outside. So what does Tosus want to argue? Why were the rabbanan mechayev a suma, not mechayev a woman? What is Tosus' argument? Why were they more nervous about blind people than women? Guys, you guys want to tell us? Let's go. What does Tosus say? Yeah, all right.
For women, they don't have, they're exempt from time by mitzvot, but there's not so many of them.
Exactly. Let us say the same woman's chayev 602 of the mitzvot. So they're fully in the Jewish community. They're a player. Okay, it's tough mitzvot, they're not chayev in. But the rabbanan didn't feel a need to say, we need to include women in the mix. But what was the nature of the Summa's exemption? Everything. So, and Tosfos' word, he's like, an Irish Catholic. Right? How could it be we leave the Summa in that boat? Therefore, there's greater rabbinic motivation to mechayev of the Summa. Ever got that? We'll come back to that in a second. So that's Summa versus Isha. What about Summa versus Katan? So here, there's too much good stuff to do here, guys. I picked a bad topic. There are too many good tangents. I can't do them. Okay. Now, I want to do this whole abdominal tangent. Now I'm debating if I have time. Okay. Let's go back to the Mishnah Megillah. If a Summa is chayev d'rabbanan, then he can say Shema for everybody else. But one second, you can only say Shema for other people, or any mitzvah if you're on the same level of obligation. So how, even if a Summa is chayev d'rabbanan in Shema, how can he say Shema for everybody else? So how does Tosfos address that? What does Tosfos assume? That it's very interesting, that Kriya Shema is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, which is very debatable. Okay, you debate about that? But if it's machloket, yes, if kriyat shema is a mitzvah d'rabanan, it works out nicely. The suma can say shema for the people if he doesn't have the yotzer b'or problem, because what? Because his d'rabanan could be motzi the d'rabanan. I just want to point out one thing. Rav Davila pointed out there is a different sheet that atosa in Megillah that a single d'rabanan can't be motzi. Sorry, a double d'rabanan can't be motzi a single d'rabanan. If you don't understand what that means, let it be. You should all just know Rav Davila asked Rav Kibaker's question, which is very exciting, but not for us right now. Yeah. Okay. Look, you're saying something interesting, Jake. I tried to avoid the specific about what Purei Sal Shema is. You're saying maybe you could set up in a way where he's not being motzi everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, although it does sound to Mishnah like he is being motzi people, right? Because that's why we're objecting.
Being motzi people, but it's being motzi for the sake of, not making up something that you weren't allowed.
Okay, that's interesting.
Says, yeah. Being motzi
there. Right. Wait, Jake, what do you want to say? That it's a different kind of being motzi? What do you want to say?
Like, it's not like a real big, anyone at the table can say.
Again, but certainly, Tosus is treating it like a classic scenario, right?
Right.
Tosus says, I need to lower the level of everybody's fear, because then, otherwise, A can't be motzi B.
Right.
So certainly, the Tosus discourse seems to be standard A, B, motzi B. Okay, so, but, last thing. Tosus assumes, let's look at the last line of Tosus, guys, because here's a good example where sometimes there's an idea, but the formulation might not make it clear what the deeper idea is, and you have to think deeper again. Look at the last line of Tosus. We're now doing Summa versus Katan. What's our assumption now? A Summa, in theory, could say Shema for everybody else, because he's a Drabanan, and everybody's a Drabanan. Okay, look at the last line. V'lodam yichiv de Summa l'chiv de Katan shegi l'chinuch. Why is it not like, because what Tosfos thinking? Let's say the Katan's not three. He's shegi l'chinuch. The Katan is 10. He's Chayav Drabanan, right? So what should we now assume? What would follow? A Katan can be Paris al-Shema. Right? It's the same thing. Summa is Chayav Drabanan, and he can be Paris al Shema. Great news, guys. Kids can do it. Here, tell your little younger brother, send him up there for Paris al Shema, even though he's 10 years old, because he's Chayav Drabanan. What does Tosfos say? She'ein ela l'chancho. It's just chinuch. That's a bad line for an educator to say. Da'avagat d'chayim ha'drabanan, ein Paris al Shema l'hotziachim d'chobatan. Wait, what's Tosfos getting at? What does that mean, guys? Anyone have a alumnus way to say it? It's just chinuch, so it's not the same. So who cares if it's just chinuch? If he's chayav drabanan, he's the same as a suma. Ever see the problem? Talk about this funny line. A suma is drabanan, he can be motzi everybody. A katan, he can't because it's just chinuch. What does that mean? A chayav drabanan is a chayav drabanan. All right, Levine.
Looking at because it's for chinuch, it's not for the sake of the zibur. If they're
okay,
saying
not a bad idea. Not bad. Moses Bibi, you want to say as far? I heard you whisper something. It wasn't you, it was your dad then. Okay, yeah, Jordan. Very good. You figured that out now, or you saw it inside? Okay, excellent. Evan, turn the page. Jordan Stabber is going to be a future Lamdan of Israel. Go to the Turi, Evan. I guess I'll tell you who this is very briefly. There's a famous Achro named Aryeh Ginsberg. His most famous is called the Shagas Aryeh. Heard that phrase? Yeah, what is Shagami? It's a good name for a book. Yes, if you had it in English, it would be The Roar of the Lion. Now, I realize we haven't yet gotten this far. We're like art school translating Lumder's farm, but one day it'll be the Schottenstein Shagas Aryeh. Okay, right after the Schottenstein Sos comes out. Okay, so that was a joke just for a moment. Okay, so Aryeh Ginsberg, besides the Shagas Aryeh, wrote a sefer on a couple of mesechtas called Turei Eved. Ravadi, one of the mesechtas, in fact, is Chagiga. Does the Turei Eved come up at all in breakfast? Okay, so Rabbi Aryeh Ginsberg wrote the Turei Eved on Megillah, Chagiga, and Rosh Hashanah, and he says exactly Jordan's point beautifully. Look at the last two lines of Turei Eved. F Shalom, the other potter some comments. Sorry, no, that's the wrong one. Where is it? Okay, fourth line, end of the fourth line. Lo dami lekatan shchay b'chinu d'van d'hatam lav akatan ramu ela a'aviv l'chanchu b'mitzvot. That's a sharp distinction. There is a mitzvah of chinuch. But wait, what does the mitzvah of chinuch say? Parents should educate children. It doesn't say child per se is chayav. So you misunderstood. There is a chiyav midrabanan of chinuch, but it's a chiyav on dad. And therefore, the katan can't be motzi. So in terms of the katan versus suma, we have a great distinction now according to Turei Eved. A suma is chayav qua individual. He's chayav. So he is a drabanan. He can be motzi other people. But that's not true of chinuch. Chinuch is about the parent. It's about dad. It's not about the kid. Therefore, katan even higila chinuch cannot say shema for other people. Yeah. Yeah, there's a huge discussion, chinuch, how chinuch works. Okay, some people seem to think the child per se is chayv. How they have to go in a different direction on this issue. We'll get to other possibilities in a second. Okay, yeah, Jacob. Sure. Okay, there are two ways to understand what the Rabbanim did. Okay, let's say you're a 10-year-old boy. You have no halachic responsibilities. Life's pretty good. You just play ball outside, this is great. Okay, the Rabbanim come along and say there's something called chinuch. There's two ways to understand what mechanism the Rabbanim used. Did they say to the katan, I know you're 10, but you have a rabbinic obligation to get used to the world of mitzvot? Or did they say, kid, you're still just a carefree kid, but parent, wake up, you got to get your kid doing mitzvot. Right? But then there's no chiv on the kid, right? And therefore the kid can't be motzi other people. Yeah. Well, it's almost like a funny phrase, like being motzi is almost meaningless in that, right? They have no level of fear.
But they're the extension.
I just think it's the wrong category at that point. Okay? Everyone okay with that? Any other comments there? Okay, yeah, Natan.
How does Kozul reconcile about the common door distinction?
Okay, so we're going to do one more reconciliation. We'll come back to Katan versus Isha. For Isha versus Suma. Okay, what do we have so far in terms of the Baba Kama versus Megillah? If you hold like you show me, what's the solution? They're not the same topic. Baba Kama is blind people. Yushalmi is people who live in the cave. Okay. Tosis doesn't like that. What's Tosis' distinction? When Baba Kama said putter, it was discussing which level? The deraita level. When Megillah said chayev with the exception of Shema, Megillah was discussing the rabbinic level. So you got two good, neat solutions. Either blind people versus cave people, or deraita level versus the rabbanan level. You got it, Nathan? The Mashkiach of Maryland. He's very good. He's very upset because I dubbed Sam Finkel the Maggid of Maryland, and Natan was hoping for the title. But he lost that. Okay. Here we go. Okay, so let's go back now. Actually, sorry, one last answer. One last literary answer. We'll get back to the Lumbus. Okay, let us go to the Ritva in Source 10. He has one more answer. Okay, all the Rishonim has the same contradiction between Baba Kama on the one hand and Megillah on the other hand. If you could look at the third line of Ritva, he says, Efshay Lomar, I just want people to get this concept down. De Rabbi Yehuda, Lidivreyem de Rabbanan Kamerlehu. What would that mean? Lidivreyem de Rabbanan Kamerlehu. When Rabbi Yehuda is talking in Megillah, what's he doing? What would that be? Lidivreyem. What's Ritva getting at here? Anyone get it? I don't know if you guys got this far. What do you do sometimes in argument? Sometimes you say, I think I'm right. But you know what? Even according to your position, you should concede on this issue. So when I'm talking in that terms, I'm not describing my own view. I'm trying to get you even on your view of the world. So let's go back. How would that solve the problem? It's a nice answer if it works. What is Yehuda doing in Baba Kama when he said if Suma has a blanket exemption? That was his own position. He really thinks it's too hard to be a Suma. He's exempt. Then, and he knows, imagine for years, guys, Yehuda and Chama had this daily debate. Yehuda says, Pater, come say hi. Now Shema comes up in the base medrash. Can assume it be Paris al Shema. What does Yehuda cleverly do all of a sudden? Hey, Rabbanan, let's concede you're right, even though I don't. Even according to you, you shouldn't be allowed to say Shema because of your Yotzer Amarot problem. Right? Wouldn't that solve the contradiction also? If in Megillah he wasn't describing his own position, so that's cool, guys, in Rabbanan Tarash, Lidivreyim. Lidivreyim, he's only speaking according to... There, everybody. We all do that in arguments sometimes. Even if you're right, you should concede on this particular issue. So that would be a third way, literarily, to solve the problem. I just point that one thing. This is quite interesting. Okay, you know, I'm getting more boring my old age. I find all these literary things interesting. Okay, look at the last line. El dekol kiai gavna hayim afari shlabi gemara. Very interesting. What do you want to claim, guys? What's the rule? When someone's doing that, what should happen? Yeah, the Gemara should say that. It's like an interesting rule. Right? If someone was not talking for themselves, just in someone else's worldview, it's almost like the Gemara's job to point that out. And if the Gemara doesn't point that out, it's pretty reasonable. The default assumption is if someone's talking, they are actually reflecting their own view. Everyone see what just happened? So this would solve the problem, but the Ritva says, but it would be against the default position. Okay, so before we move on, guys, we're going to have to set the three answers down. Okay, three answers to the contradiction. Guys, in very quick words, Yushalmi, what's the answer? Blind people versus cave people. Tosfos, what's the answer? The right of Mr. Rabbanan. Okay, Ritva, what's the answer? One is Rabbi Yehuda himself, one is Rabbi Yehuda trying to within the world of Rabbanim.
Yeah, because it doesn't work.
Okay, but I like theoretical answers. In Shia, we like Havamidus. Havamidus make life exciting, Jordan Stafford. Oh, look, it's true. The Rebbe doesn't say that at the end of the day. Does that mean it's a terrible answer? Fine. Well, you give Shia Klai, you leave that Rebbe. Okay?
Okay.
You're a little too tall, though, Jordan. I think it's not going to work. Okay.
Would that, would the Rebbe, by the way, be more of a straw man fallacy?
A straw man fallacy. What are the words straw man and fallacy? How does that work?
Oh, a straw man fallacy? It's like when you state the other person.
So I know what a straw man is, I know what a fallacy is, but I don't know what a straw man fallacy is.
No, it's one of the logical fallacies. When you state the straw man fallacy implies.
Ah, okay. I don't know. You don't really need the word fallacy there. You can just say straw man. I think we're not going to. Okay. Okay. Great. Okay, let's go back to. Okay, let's go back to. The Summa Ish issue. Okay, because now things, I think, are really going to get excited. Okay, what did Tosfot say? Why were the Rabbanim more motivated for Summa than for Isha again? Because this poor Summa, we can't let this person have the same halakhic status as an non-Jew. Which is obviously not true for women, they're high in the overwhelming majority of mitzvot. Okay, that was a pretty reasonable distinction. Okay, wait, but now a number of Achronim raised the following question. We'll do it mostly outside. A number of Achronim say, is the Summa Patra for mitzvot Lotase? Wouldn't that lead to a crazy conclusion? Think about it, guys. What would that mean? If you're a Summa, you could be a thief and it's okay. Right? You could eat treif. You could, like, murder people in your spare time. Like, it's a little bit hard to imagine. It's true, it's hard to be a Summa, but not that hard. Right? We're not going to tell him that he could do terrible things. So wait, so is it really true that a Summa has the blanket exemption? Okay, so a lot of Achronim say Misvara, they can't believe a Summa is put from a mitzvot. But then they have a further question, which is quite interesting. Okay, I think we mentioned this very briefly earlier this year. Arguably, why do we have to listen to the rabbis? The whole conversation also, like this year, like a lot of 8-year clay tangents we could have done. Okay, but what's the classic pasuk that tells you to listen to the rabbis? Lo tasur min hadavar shegilchinu small. Now that's a lo tase. So what does Tosfot argue? Assume is exempt from mitzvot the right, to be chayim and rabbanan. What does chayim and rabbanan assume? That assume is obligated to listen to the rabbis. But if you tell me assume is exempt from all mitzvot, he's also exempt from the mitzvah. The rabbis. That doesn't make any sense. But, so notice, so on two grounds, life is easier if you say a Summa is chayv and mitzvah lo tase. Okay, Charlie, don't leave. Yeshiva has a good lunch today. Okay, don't leave. Okay, so ever got that? Again, what are the two grounds? A, it's hard to imagine that a Summa could do lo tase. It's just hard to imagine per se. Just misvara. Secondly, how could a Summa be chayv derabanan if he's not chayv and lo tasur? So certainly life will be easier if we assume that a Summa is chayav and mitzvot lo tase. You having a good so far? Okay. In terms of the first issue, though, there's a really, really interesting minchas chinuch. I want some people to know, people should be aware of who the minchas chinuch is. I think it's a very, very interesting sefer. Okay, the minchas chinuch is written by a man named Yosef Babad. He was a Polish Talmud Chacham in the 1800s. In fact, if you're from Chicago, there's a Babad family in Chicago. Do you know them, Nathan? At one point, one of his descendants was involved in Skokie somehow. Okay, and sometimes in life, I think I mentioned this once before, you write a commentary on a work, and the commentary takes on a life of its own. And when the commentary takes a life of its own, at some point, you're learning the commentary just from the commentary. I mean, not because it'll explain the original work. So the best example of that is Minchas Chinuch. Ostensibly, what's Minchas Chinuch? Ostensibly, it's explaining Sefer HaChinuch. But I might be wrong about this. I don't know if anybody in Jewish history has ever taken out the Minchas Chinuch to learn it because they needed pshat in the Sefer HaChinuch. Not that the Sefer HaChinuch is not a great work, it is, but it's usually self-explanatory. You don't really need the Minchas Chinuch to say pshat in the Sefer HaChinuch. But since the Sefer HaChinuch goes through all the mitzvot, so the Minchas Chinuch used it as the springboard for all kinds of interesting halakhic questions about mitzvah. So if you guys ever want to give an interesting halakhic shiur, you basically take the Minchas Chinuch, for sure you got an interesting halakhic shiur, any mitzvah. Yeah. Ah, very good. Did you get to the Minchas Chinuch? Jacob Katz, excellent. So let's do the Minchas Chinuch outside. So actually, we'll do it inside. Z source, there'll be lower source, we'll do it inside. Let's look at source 7. Minchas Chinuch. Okay, by the way, I know a lot of you struggle with Achronim because they have a lot of Rosh Hashanah, but hang in there. You'll get. Sometimes I debate when I put the source sheet, should I spell Rosh Hashanah with you or not? Okay, but I did. What? Who said no there? Okay, I, Robert, you want to really work on it?
Yeah.
What?
So fun.
Okay, see, I, Roberts understands life, guys. Sometimes difficulties are fun. Okay, let's see what we got here in the Minchas Chinuch. Okay. Okay. Angela, you got that? Difficult things can be fun, not always difficult and frustrating. Okay. It's like when you're playing a good basketball team, right? Who wants to play a bad team? I never just did that in life, guys. You know, when I was a kid, and you know, sometimes all the good kids want to be on one team. What's the fun of winning like 21-3? It never makes any sense to me. Not fun at all. Okay, here we go. Mikomakom nearly. Atim nomar, debuta poter, afil milavin. Let's say I'm even more radical. I say, what chitas, Rabbi Yehuda? Not just poter from mitzvah asay, but even from loads asays. Mikomakom otan hamitzvah shibine noach muzar, hu gamke muzar. That is fascinating. What does Menachas going to claim? At least he's a Noachide, right? Noachides have basic decency that they're chayiv in. They can't steal, they can't kill, right? They're supposed to have a court system. So a sumer should be a civilized person. Says it's a fascinating thing. We kept dividing aseis, lot aseis. Maybe pater from aseis, chayiv lot aseis. Says the Menachas Linach, maybe pater aseis, pater lot aseis, but chayiv in b'nei Noach mitzvot. There's certain logic that we, and that solved, think about our two problems. What were our two problems about the Summa? One was the low tasher problem, rabbinic authority, which this doesn't solve. But the other problem, it does solve on some level. Could it be that we allow a suma to commit adultery? Could we allow a suma to kill? Some minchas would say no, but why not? Because mitzvah do exist for a suma. Quite an interesting suggestion. Although if you look ahead, he says something fascinating. This is good for you, Jacob Katz. Look at the fourth line. Ach l'inyan onshin. What if we're talking about the issue of punishments? Ein babakam perka chovel. It's kind of very interesting. Like, how do they assume? What level of responsibility do they have in this world? So, Baba Kam, Rav Yehuda apparently explicitly said, assume is pata from onshin. So, the claim is, assume would be like a B'nai Noach in that all those mitzvah would apply to him or her, but would not be like a B'nai Noach in that B'nai Noach could be punished for those violations, but the Summa couldn't. So, he's walking a very interesting line here with the Summa. Let me just throw one more thing in. Hope I've got wet all your appetite for learning more Minchas Sinah of life. It's really a wonderful safer. He then goes on to say something else fascinating.
Here or there.
Okay.
Here or there.
Oh.
No.
What do you mean by here or there?
It's not subject to punishment in this world.
Ah, that's a good question. Okay, so. Okay. Do you go by Rabbi Bibi? What do you go by? Okay. So Moses' dad is an interesting question. Rabbi Yehuda, it might only be talking about Beitin. Right? You might be right, actually. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure how Minchas will go with that. Like, maybe you are responsible on some metaphysical, spiritual level, but Beitin does not punish a Summa. But he does one more fascinating little day comments. Okay, there's an interesting halacha about Shabbos, right? That non-Jews in general, they could be spiritual people, they could be ethical people. We'd encourage them to do kibbutz of aim, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, we'd encourage them to daven. That's okay. There's one mitzvah they're not encouraged to do, and that is Shabbos. There seems to be a Shabbos, an exclusive gift. And that's even why when someone's studying for conversion, it's a very interesting halacha, what will they do while they're studying for conversion? They'll do some chil Shabbos every Shabbos, right, till they convert. Apparently, Shabbos is a unique gift for Am Yisrael. Okay, but then, the Menachas Sinach thinks he's kind of like trapped himself a little bit. Wait, if a Summa has Dinei B'nei Noach, am I going to say that he can't keep Shabbos? And that, he says, no, I can't go that far. Right? So he's not a fool like B'nei Noach. So just this, before you get to questions, Menachas makes three moves here. Okay, move one. Okay, he might be putter for Mitzvah Asay and Lot Asay, but he's Chayev as B'nei Noach, so all those mitzvahs would apply. Move two. But he wouldn't be chayv in onshin, at least in this world. And move three, but that Shabbos detail would apply. Look, he's part of Am Yisrael at the end of the day. We would not say he has to be Michal Shabbos. Okay, now, yeah, Natan.
Do you find that non-Jews, that they don't have chayv
in Yeah. Look, how it works out, no, but why is it an impossible thing? If the Jews have sovereignty and non-Jews live in that society, still be halacha for non-Jews also. It's true, it hasn't been true for most of Jewish history, but why is that inherently an impossibility? Right? If we have the jurisdiction, we have to make rulings. Yeah.
Why does Menachas Sinach assume that they're pater from mitzvot and they're
still not? Well, I think we had two problems with the Summa exemption, right? One was rabbinic authority, but the other was, could it really be that a Summa can kill people? That's just inconceivable. Can a Summa steal? Can a Summa commit adultery? But that solves the problem, right? Doesn't that solve the problem?
That's not what I'm saying. I feel like
I see what you're saying. I have to think about that. That's an interesting question. So, Im Kvar, will you be Mechayev Asuma? Why don't I just go further? And I'm thinking. What do you think?
Right.
seven min tov and also a raita. Everything else the rabbanan.
Right. All right, I'll think about it. I'm going to think about your question. Yeah, who, anybody else? We're good? Yeah, Avery.
So, assuming that another one of our problems that we don't want to try and consider Asuma enough, we don't want to include them more in the community.
Yeah.
So, that problem is saying, oh, you're a Mandela.
Okay, I know. Okay, Avery didn't like the Minhag HaSkuna because he thinks it gets back to the Tosfos problem.
Right.
The Suma is usually Benoach. But Avery, what's the alternative? Should we say he's not having anything? He's less than Benoach? Okay, so let's go back to Avery's point, I guess. We'll end with, a crucial educational point, and I'll sum up the whole shiur. Let's go back to Tosfos. What did Tosfos say? Why do we have to Minhag HaSuma in Mitzvot? Why do we have to? Otherwise, he's Kenachri. Let me ask you a very difficult question. That's not very difficult, because I think once you think about it, the answer is not so difficult. Let's assume that Rabbi Kiviger is right, or the Turei Avin is right. What are Kiviger and the Turei Avin assuming? Assume is chayav in mitzvot. In fact, he's chayav in all the mitzvot. Lo taseh. There are a lot of mitzvot lo taseh out there. There are 365 mitzvot lo taseh. So why is it true? Why do Rabbanan feel such pressure? Why do Rabbanan have to say, we better be mechayav assume in mitzvot, or else he's kenachri? What are you talking about? He's not wearing shatnas. He's not eating treif, right? He's not planting kilayim, right? So what's the answer? It's not true. He's got 365 mitzvot. Ben Kaplan, what do you say? Excellent. So I think there's two educational points here. You'd like to sneak in machshava into the shir kolay. One is apparently being a Jew is not just about avoiding things, right? You have to be an active participant. So you could have 365 lotaseis and still not feel that your Jewish identity has been activated, right? You're just avoiding things all the time, right? You actually have to do something. I'm going to make it even one step further. I think the educational point is even deeper. Let me ask you a question, guys. Let's go back to Tosfos. Did we say that it's us or for Asuma to do mitzvot?
No.
So it's even more. Why is he kenachri? He'll be obligated in all 365 lavim, and he'll voluntarily take on 248. That doesn't sound like he's Italian or Irish Catholic. So what's going on? So what's the further step in the Ben Kaplan point? Yeah, Jordan? Very good. Apparently, and this, I think it's a good shift when you're a more mature person. When you're a kid, you don't like the idea of an obligation. But what emerges from Tosfot? Part of your identity is that you feel obligated. That's what it means to be a serious human being. Right? You have values or ideals, and you're obligated to fulfill them. So I think it's a very, this Tosfot seems like it's just a lumdish point, has a very powerful machshava point. Right, you could be obligated in a lot of lotases, and you could voluntarily take on a lot of assays. But being a committed Jew means you're obligated to do things. If you're not obligated in the world of assays, then you're kenachri. And therefore, the Rabbanan felt obligated, pun intended, right, to give mitzvot to the Suma. Haven't got the point? Okay, brief 2-minute summary, guys, and we're done here. Excellent job here. Okay, brief 2-minute summary. Okay, how did the ball get rolling here? We had a stira, contradiction. What does it sound like in Baba Karma? Suma has a blanket exemption. What does it sound like in Megillah? A specific problem to Yotzer HaMarot. Okay, three answers. Again, Yerushalmi, blind man versus caveman. Right? Tosos, Deraita verse, Derabbanan. Right? The Ritva, Jordan Stabber, take it easy. The Ritva, okay. In Megillah, in Baba Karma, Yehuda is describing his own position. In Megillah, he's describing within the Rabbanan's position. Okay, next. Katan versus Suma. Tosfos' whole theory that the Suma is the Rabbanan, if you motzi kriya shma is the Rabbanan, leaving Rav Dov and Kiviger's question aside. We'll do that some other shikol. Okay, now, how did the Turei Avin solve the problem? How come a Suma can be motzi and a Katan cannot? So the Turei Avin says, chinuch's on Abba, not on the Ben. Okay, interesting question about chinuch. But if the Ben's not chayv in any level, he can't be motzi. Next, then we did Suma versus Isha. Well, what is a chi of Suma? Okay, minchas chinuch would say, maybe not a seiz, maybe not lot a seiz, but yes, b'nei Noach. That would solve the problem. How could a Suma be free to do every wrong thing he wants? It wouldn't solve the problem. Why does he have to listen to mitzvot Rabbanan? That's still a problem, according to minchas chinuch. Okay, what do a lot of other achronim want to say? He is chayav in lot a seiz. If he's chayav in lot a seiz, you solve that problem. But then something very interesting emerges, which we pointed out according to Tosfot. What's the machshava point that emerges according to Tosfot? You can be chayav in lot aseis, you can voluntarily do aseis. That still does not provide an adequate Jewish identity. But adequate Jewish identity is about feeling commanded to do aseis. So I'm going to point out one last thing, guys. Okay, when you start learning a lot and really get into it, you realize all tangents can be followed up and be a shir klali also. So I'm going to give you four things you can look into now if you want to, guys. One would be Rav Dovel's question, can a double Drabbanan be motzi a single Drabbanan? Number two would be, what is chinuch? Is chinuch on the parents or on the child? Number three would be, what's the nature of gadol ha-mitzvah v'oseh? Why do we say it? When do we say it? So hopefully you'll all experience this, guys, that one good sugya is just going to lead to the next good sugya. All of life will be one endless good sugya. All right, everybody have a good Shabbos.